from the entertainment capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada, it's Midnight in the Marshaverse, starring Marsha Warfield and her two sons, Stephen Roberts and Skills Hudson, as the problem child.
Good morning, or morning. Hi. You know, I don't know how good it is. It's election night here in the Marshaverse, and, well, more in the y'all-verse, where y'all live. In my verse, Kamala Harris is still winning. Now, y'all can do with that what you want. Anyway, but welcome. Thank you for joining us here in the Marshaverse. It's midnight. You know, the witching hour, the time when tomorrow meets today, meets tomorrow. And so this is when the magic happens. No stress, you know, no pain. In fact, how we mitigate that is with alcohol and cannabis, cannabis and cognac. And I do that every week. Have a nice little relax, because it's all about the chill. It's all about the relaxation. It's all about the let your hair down and relax at the end of the day. And once a week, it's okay to have a cocktail and a little cannabis if it's legal and if it's something you enjoy. If you don't want to indulge, ain't no pressure, boo. Eat a sandwich, you know, have a cookie. I don't care. Suck your thumb. If it makes you feel good, if it relaxes you, do it. Tonight, the cannabis, I'm having a, this is an AMA brand, American Marijuana, I don't know what it stands for, but AMA, and it's a sour diesel dough, whatever that means, and I'm having it in my stiletto vape because I'm feeling kind of dangerous right now. And so this is a 1 gram thing, and we turn this on, click it 5 times, a little symbol comes on, and then we preheat it and have a little hit. So if you want to join me, please feel free. Okay, I might not make it through this show. We will keep tabs on that, but that's okay right now, because this has been a stressful ass day. So, and it's still stressful, you know, but a little Remy always helps. I like this little glass. It's cute. My wife gave it to me. And so, okay, we'll start slow. All right, Remy Martin, as if, and this is a, prime seller selection number 16. Okay, I wonder what number 1 through 15 tastes like. Here you go. Here's to survival. Okay. A little peppery, but not bad. That's pretty darn good. So we got big dogs in here tonight. Our first guest is going to be Adele Givens. She's such a fucking lady. And she's going to join us in a minute, in a little while. But first, this is the point of the show where I usually do some sort of what I call comediosophy, where we kind of elevate the comedy game and it, you know, expand it to other things that go into us making our comedy. They're not all funny. Some of them are, you know, we respond to history, to what's going on in our lives, our past, you know, and all of that goes into our comedy. And so the study of the elements of comedy, I call comediosophy. Another title for it is bullshit. I usually talk about sort of weighty subjects, but tonight, given that the mood is so unsettled, I think I'll just tell a story. And it's a story that is apropos of nothing. It has nothing to do with anything going on today. And it's just a nice story from my past. My friend Reen and I have been hanging out together since 1976, 77. And back when we was both cute. And so we've been out in clubs. We go have fancy dinner and stuff. But a lot of times we just hang out, watch TV, smoke weed, talk some stuff, you know, hang out. So one time, long time ago, when Dave Letterman first got his show, he used to have a lot of quirky guests. I guess he always did. But he used to have a lot of eclectic guests. And one night, we were just sitting around the house. I don't know whose apartment we were in. But we were giggly. And back then, she drank wine. And she used to say that, because she bought the jugs of wine. And she'd say, would you like some wine? Look, 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 look. And pour herself a glass of wine. Anyway, so we were, and I don't know what I drank. I drank cognac, but every once in a while I'd drink some wine, but it tastes like pickle juice to me. So we're watching David Letterman, and he introduces this little girl, little African-American girl who has written a book about her cat, a book of poems. And they have a nice little conversation. She's cute and fast and sassy and you know, age-appropriate, but very clever and precocious. And they have their little chat, and then he asks her, would she like to recite one of her poems from the book? And she said yes. So she gets up and she starts reciting a poem about how much she loves her cat and how fun he is. And she tells a whole story that's really very, very cute. And then she gets to the end, and the last line is, I love my cat. You might not like him, but he is not your cat. And then she went and sat down. We laughed for about an hour and a half and wish we had that kind of self-confidence at our age, let alone at hers. So I kind of challenge her, channel her right now with that same kind of attitude. You know, he is not your cat. Tonight's Midnight in the Marshaverse is brought to you by Aunt Karen's Suburban Seasonings Casseroles in a Can. Aunt Karen's Suburban Seasonings is proud to announce that it has just been acquired by USA Incorporated. The national conglomerate that says, we work hard to give you the business. USA Corp Incorporated released a statement just moments ago. As we anticipate the arrival of our new CEO, Donald Trump, USA Incorporated stands on the precipice of a truly exciting business revolution. Citizen ownership. That's right, we own you. As global manufacturers of everything you use, we will continue to require you to work making everything you need in order to acquire money to buy the things you want and pay us for the privilege. No more need to shop. Just think of the things you want and we'll deduct enough Bitcoin from your assigned account in the bank we own. Within minutes, Aunt Karen's Suburban Seasonings, just like a burger in a can casserole, will be on its way to your door. Want to remind me of a soda? Sugar-free, preservative-laden energy drink to wash it all down? Your wish is our command. Just don't get overdrawn on your salary allotment spending account, or you'll have to work off your debt until it's paid. It's our new simplified share working system. We look forward to serving you. And remember, the business of USA Corp Incorporated is giving you the business. I have the privilege to introduce. I like doing this show because I get to interview my friends. I get to interview people I've either worked with or admired and have a relationship with, and get to just hang out with them and talk to them. And this lady, when I first started getting back into show business, was one of the few people who reached out to me on social media. And we struck up a friendship. And then the LOL Comedy Honors, which was a very ambitious and really good kind of endeavor. Unfortunately, you know, I think it only lasted the 1 year, but the 1 year that it did last was really memorable. And I was awarded a Lifetime Award, which was amazing since I hadn't worked in years. And most of the people involved seemed to me to have been far too young to know anything about me. So to receive an award, and I was just getting back into the business, didn't have my sea legs under me, just pretty much a rookie. It was very nice to have the validation and appreciation of peers, and not just peers. You know, it's Black people, you know. It's not exclusive. It's not, you know, it's just like, it's nice to be acknowledged by family, you know. And so it was a special night. And it was more special because I was going to meet Adele. We had talked about it on the DMs, how we were finally going to meet, hang out, whatever, the bubble, the boom, the bop. And somehow the travel got messed up. Anyway, by the time I finally saw her in the coffee shop, it was like we were sister. And I'm so happy she stayed up late to be with us tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, would you say hello to my friend, Adele Givens? Hey, Adele.
Hey, Marsha.
How you doing?
I'm doing well. I love you so much. Thank you.
Oh, back at you, girl. You awake?
Barely, but I am. I mean, I had a little friend to help me out, you know.
A little something.
Cocktail, you know, but I smoked my liquor, so that's what happened.
Hey, I hope you saw me. I'm right there with you. So, the LOL Comedy Awards. What do you remember about that? You were involved in the production of it, weren't you?
I was not involved in the production of it. I just they contacted me to for some people's information, you know. But that was, I think, the extent of my involvement. I wish I was, because I'd be rallying to try to make it happen again. Because it really was a wonderful time, and your humility, just you like, I didn't even think people this young would know me. Girl, you don't even know. You no. are legendary.
Yeah, seriously. And in fact, that's another story. Anyway, so you're from Chicago.
Yep. West side over here, south side over there.
Yep, south side. What high school?
Westinghouse.
Okay. So now, when did you graduate?
I didn't. I got a GED.
All right. When would you? Was you supposed to?
Say again now.
I thought you spoke GED.
I have a GED. I am
one of the smartest people I've ever talked to. Anyway.
Oh, I'm humbled. Thank you.
I told you that before. I told you that on the bus. Well, on the way to the awards, that I admire you so much. You know, you didn't have to do that. You didn't have to tell nobody that, but you did. And girl, everybody's proud of you for that. Anyway, when did you get into show business?
I got into show business at the end of 1989, right around 1990, they had it was like I think it was November of 1989, may have been October, but I believe it was November of 89. They had a contest and I came home from working on my answering machine. It was flashing. You know how that is. Somebody done died. Your answering machine full and flashing, everybody telling you. But that wasn't the case. Actually, everybody was telling me about this contest that they heard. You should get in it because you're funny. And they were basically soliciting funny people to come and get in a contest. I had never been on stage. So me and my best friend chose, because there were five or six venues you could go to for the preliminary. And me and my bestie, we chose Southside, 63rd and Low Taste, because I knew nobody over there knew me. I'm okay. A West. So I went over there and I got in the contest and I won the preliminary. The finals was February 3rd, 1990, hosted by Sinbad.
Okay.
So by now I'm hooked. I got on the stage. I won the first, I won the preliminary. Here's an interesting note. Bernie Mac was in the preliminary that I won. That's how I met him.
Okay.
That's the first and only time I won a contest that I was in with Bernie Mac.
No, I understand and appreciate that story. So you got in on a lark. What made you stay? What made you pursue it?
Once I got on the mic, I mean, I understood. At that time, it was the height of crack addiction. And I would say on stage, I get it about people who take that one hit and has to keep going, because I grabbed that mic one time and I said they could have booed my ass out of there. It would have been no different. I would have come right back determined, you know, to win them over. Right. But I didn't have that problem. I won the first night I got on stage. I won. So, okay. And I won the finals when Sinbad hosted.
Yeah, well, you know, some people got it, some people don't.
That so was $2,500. I was rich, man.
$500.
$2,500 in 1990.
$2,500
in 1990.
That's what you won. $2,500.
That's what I won. You know, girl, I thought I was rich,
girl. When I went to the comedy store, I got 2 drink tickets and a hamburger. Anyway,
well, that's the way it went from that point on. But I mean, the beginning, you know, they drew me in with their $2,500.
Okay, that's a big draw. Okay, so now you're in show business, then you're queen of comedy. How'd that come along?
Well,
is that how it happened? Is that how it goes?
Well, no. I mean, that's how it goes, but you ain't talking about all them roads you passing on that way to there.
Yeah, no. Correct me.
No, I'm not correcting you. I'm just saying I'm agreeing with you. That's exactly how it went, except there's a lot of little things along the way that are interesting that you get involved in that happens before you get to that, because that's 10 years later, I think it was, the Queens of Comedy. That's 10 years later. I got to, you know, I toured for the first time probably 2 years after I started. I got lucky. I came in the business right at the time that Black comedy was being celebrated, actually being exposed to our communities, because we didn't know. We would see a Marsha Warfield here and there, but we didn't frequent the comedy clubs. I personally didn't feel the same environment I feel now when I go in comedy clubs at that time. It was different. So yeah. We just did comedy wherever we felt comfortable and happy at. And if that was at Mr. Ricky's, then that was at Mr. Ricky's. If that was in the middle of a boat in Lake Michigan, hey, cruise with us, baby. Let's do it.
So did you leave Chicago?
Yes, I moved to Lexington, Kentucky.
A hotbed of entertainment.
Oh, well, yeah, no, but a nice place to raise boys if you're from the west side of Chicago and you worried.
Okay.
is literally what, you know, I needed. My mother lived in Kentucky, so I chased the babysitter, basically. You know, you heard of ambulance chasers? You get your babysitter chasers. Like, mama to move to where? Damn, I got to move to Montana.
Okay.
So they had black people in Montana.
Pretty much how I ended up in Vegas. I think most women have, whether you're a biological mother or just children around who need you for some whatever reason, we tend to always get, and you can't say sidetracked, but, you know, taken away from our passion to another passion to for a while.
I think it's pretty common.
It's
so not a even trade. You get so much more when you choose the kid, that particular passion.
Yeah, well, but you can't give up that itch, that stage itch.
You can't. That doesn't go away, and it's okay.
What's the best gig you ever had?
Best gig. That is a good question, because I don't think it's happened yet. You can't even, it gets better every time. Like, I would say the last gig I did, because you always add something. You get something new. You get a new idea and you go, okay, I'm going to take this joke and I'm going to make this story this. It's just the whole process. It's all good. It's all good.
Have you been watching the election and what's going on with it?
No, ma'am. I literally this last week, the only thing that I've been getting is them constant texts, because, you know, once you go in, you in,
yeah,
baby.
Well,
you know, so Kamala and Joe and them, they've been blowing up my phone, but I have deliberately been not watching. I went on a ship. I was on a cruise on purpose this last week. I came home yesterday. Ironically, you know, on the way home on the flight, a woman passed away.
Oh yeah, I saw that.
Literally on the same row I'm on, and ironically, I can't make it up. It was row 13. I was like, you know, this is not a good. I'm coming home from a cruise. You know, that is not the sunset you want to watch as you return from cruise. And I was like, oh wait, the day has been turned around. So yeah, I got up to do this podcast with you. So
I appreciate that. I do.
So but, to say, sister, no, I ain't watched nothing, don't know nothing, ain't seen nothing, been blissfully ignorant because of anxiety connected to some of it. So no. Who's so legendary and humble that you love them and you fan out on them, but you still have no problem approaching them because they are that down to earth?
Who?
Marcy Warfield.
Of course. Yeah, you know.
It's a real thing. Like, we humans, so we fan out. We be like, oh my God, we know who we love and who we appreciate as artists. And so we do, we fan out too, but everybody's not approachable. It's a wonderful balance. I love you.
Oh, thank you. But I never wanted, all I ever wanted to be was, you know, before LL put a name to it, was Round the Way Girl. I never saw myself, even in the company of greats, you know, I saw myself as, you know, want to be the hanger on. I mean, this is Richard Pryor, this is Sidney Poitier, what the hell? I never put myself in those kinds of, and I hope nobody else does. But even, you know, I always felt like an interloper, and because I didn't study this, I didn't, you know, wasn't born, I didn't know nobody in this business when I got in it. So every step along the way, I was just, you know, too stupid to take no for an answer and kept on keeping on, you know, until I ended up where I am or where I was.
Yeah, so, well, you know, I know hoes with that same line, so I think you did something other. You know, girl, I was just too stupid to take no
Yeah, well, we won't talk about the whole part. I don't know. You feel like hanging on. Usually my two sons come out and fan on our guests for a minute. You got a minute?
I got a minute.
Okay.
Your babies.
Yes, my grown, adorable twins. my first son, I'm going to make you wait, Skills. My first son is my oldest son, the one who looks just like me. Oh. And he does stand up and he produces my one-woman show, The Book of Marcia. And he is he does stand up naked. Works for him. Anyway, so say hello to Stephen Roberts. Hi, Stephen.
Hi, Steve.
Hi, Adele. Oh, what an honor to meet you.
You too.
So amazing. Mom, will you please stop telling people I do stand up naked? Please. But
you did. I have pictures.
That part I can believe, but I think you look more like your dad.
Happens that way, but I take after my heart looks like my mom.
There you go. We're very close. And my youngest son, my problem child.
Oh my gosh.
Yes, he's adorable. Love him madly, but we watch him closely. So won't you say hello to my baby boy, Skills Hudson.
Hey, what up, Famo?
How you doing?
Hey, Adele.
Nice to officially meet you.
Same.
Y'all never met before? No? You worked
one time, years? Adele. One time, Adele.
Because it's like my husband be like, I'm like, I never met Mariah Carey. He just look at me, give me that look, and I be like, we met Mariah Carey. Like,
we met.
I'm like, well, shit, I don't remember. I'm so sorry.
No, it's okay. We met when you came to Lunell's show.
We sure did. Backstage. I forgot. You're right. I forgot. But you know, it was cannabis hour. It was Lunell's show.
Okay.
Shit.
So, Skill.
Good to see you again.
Stay here.
What you want to say to the Grand Dame here?
Man, that I've been a fan and I was fanning out that night. I just was holding it in, but I've been a fan, even though you're from the West Side. I still, you know what I'm saying? Because I'm from the South Side, 56 and Carpenter. But yeah, always been a fan of your work before I even got in the game. And then, you know, and to hear the interview with Ma and giving her flowers, the same we be trying to give her. She just, like you said, just so humbly, you know what I'm saying? She give me rides home, and I'll be like, this is a legend here. And she drives slow, but she drives fast slow. Like, you know, because we don't take the freeway, but she, you know what I'm saying? But she drives fast on the street, but slow fast.
You better close your eyes when she parks too. When she parks, just close your eyes. Just close your eyes.
No. What is this? I love you, but your feet stink kind of thing.
No.
They're just showing exactly how human you are.
Okay.
You know how many people close their eyes when they park?
Well, once you get old, it hurts. But we won't talk about that. Any questions?
It's so good to meet both of y'all, though.
Yes, and we are going to introduce George and hear what he's got to say. But I want to thank you for staying up with us and sharing a little cannabis and cognac or whatever it was you was imbibing on, and just talking to you. It's a pleasure to meet you every time I do.
Thank you, Marcia. Thank you for inviting me and having me on. Nice meeting y'all. And thank y'all for being so kind to me, because I know I look like Simba's auntie.
No, you look like Erykah Badu.
I washed it and I'm trying. So.
Don't you look like Erykah Badu?
Yes, beautiful hair. Always thick and full of life.
About Tyrone.
Thank y'all for all that. But it's three something in the morning. I know how the hell I look. It's almost 4 o'clock.
That's all right. Go and get your rest. Thank you for being here. Thanks. And come back anytime.
Thank you, Marsha.
Thank you.
Thank y'all.
All right. That was very nice.
You know some of the nicest people. You know some of the best people on earth.
They are. They're very cool. And they've always been cool and nice to me. And Gail, like I said, when I first got on Facebook, I didn't know nobody. And we started talking back and forth in the DMs and got to be friends. And so I know it's a lot to ask people to do the show at 3 o'clock in the morning, but they ask me to do shows at 8 o'clock in the morning. It's the same thing. So I ask and they can say yes or no. So there was an election today. You vote?
Yes.
Yes.
My vote didn't mean shit with all these white motherfuckers.
Come on now.
I'm sorry. I need to say it. Damn. In Florence Evans' voice. Damn.
I'm waiting for the music to come in. Good time. So, what's the plan going forward? If indeed they coronate the Orange Julius, what's the plan? What are you going to do, Skills?
I'm going to do what my ancestors and our bloodline has always have us keep doing, is push forward. We always just keep going. We keep doing it. You know what I'm saying? But it's just like the other side, they were able to just band together and just do it where we feel like we're going to band together, but we still always had them chinks in the link that, you know what I'm saying, could be also planted because of how damaged, just speaking on us as a people, you know what I'm saying, how we've been damaged, you know what I'm saying, for centuries, and it still lies dormant and comes out in situations like this, that when I really thought we was gonna, I thought she was, and my hat goes off. Well, my hat ain't gonna go off, but it goes off to Kamala because she was up against everything, and still over 200 and some, still counting electoral votes. And you know what I'm saying? She was up against, like you said, misogyny, white men, black men, you know, KKK, you know what I'm saying? Elon Musk, what's the dude named? Joe Rogan. Joe Rogan was so phony. He kept, I want to interview her. I just want to show how human she, human. Like, what does that even mean? What dog whistle are you saying? That you want to show that she human, but you had dude on there asking him, hey, where's that look? What, you got a scar on your ear? Let me see. Yeah. Let me see that. Oh yeah, I got a kink right there.
Yeah. Well, I share your frustration and consternation. Stephen, we went to the Kamala Harris rally here in Vegas, yes, for friends and family. And it was interesting. I have never been to one in my entire life. I've never been political in the actual political sense. I've been outspoken about things, but I never got involved in the system. Systems bother me. The systemic nature of problems. I see so clearly, and I don't understand why we don't dismantle them. And I don't know why I started talking about that. Y'all don't know either. You weren't listening. I wasn't listening either. What?
I was sitting there, Mom, because I'm right before I'm going up. I'm trying to watch some of the other comics before I go up. I'm watching the TV, watching the what's name. Then they were showing the it was like Kamala had like 187, and they were showing he had 246. But on Google, it was saying she had 210 and dude had 230. They were showing on Google a higher, and they were showing, and I'm like, what are they playing with our minds? Instead of showing us the exact amount at the time, they still showing us like she way, way behind. You know what I'm saying? You know,
I was watching them MSNBC, so they shouldn't have been trying to, knock her out the race. But after a while, I just couldn't watch it anymore. Glad I went to the rally. I'm glad I was a little more involved in, emotionally involved, and more interested than I have been in other cycles, even though I have been aware. But I was usually more critical. I was usually more critical of the people running, of the things that I thought were wrong and all that kind of stuff. This time I was rooting for Kamala Harris. I was really rooting for her. I thought she was the best candidate by far, and I thought she was the best candidate to turn the page on America's was to what America can be.
But we wasn't willing to die. That's the other side was willing to die for this man. They were willing to die.
Well,
like she lost. We upset, but we not going to fight for her because she lost. We not about to go in the street and tear up shit and go to the Capitol and tear up shit in her name because she lost. They were willing to do that. And ready to do that. That shows just how crazy and how demented the other side of this country, a good percentage of the country, is. You know what I'm saying? That we incorporate and be around each other every day, and these individuals hold these views that they feel like they're so dormant that they can't, that it's not, it doesn't bother you when they. But yeah, that shit bothers me because it's gonna come out on a situation, whether you are a manager of mine, you in a situation to be some help to me. These things matter. You know what I'm saying?
I understand. That's what I mean. I was emotional. I was very emotional this morning when I woke up. And I just, because I don't understand what you don't understand. You know, it's so clear to me that the hyper-masculinity warrior spirit is the problem, not the solution. If it's not tempered by more soft power, more reasoned diplomacy, more understanding of people and what people need, you're going to end up self-destructive. It's just inevitable. And so when you look at it from today, you know, it's hard to reconcile your bullshit when you have horribly mistimed your medication. And so if you end up, you know, kind of high and just start talking like, you know, street dudes do when they don't know what the fuck they're talking about and they're trying to impress you with the hypotenuse of the residual acculator. That's what I've been doing for the past few minutes. Now that we're in this situation as it is, if indeed our new overlord, Russian overlord asset, is Donald Trump. Where would you want to live in the world?
I'm not going nowhere. Not going nowhere. I like the phrase standing in the stream. There's a river running very, very fast. and I'll get right in the middle of it and stand right there and let the stream hit me. But I'm standing in the stream.
Okay.
We have to. We have to. We somebody has to do it. And the other thing is, as comedians, we are, you know, we are armed with comedy, and it's our job to not only tell the truth and see what we see and make it funny so that everybody can hear it, but it's also, you know, our job to entertain everybody right now who's so depressed.
Sure.
We got to keep people going. And, you know, I would love to have the luxury of getting to leave, you know, and flee this country, but I just don't feel I have that luxury.
Well, if we don't want other countries' migrants, why would any country want us?
Fair enough.
Stay your ass over there.
Yeah, Canada's like, no.
Yeah. Skills, where would you go?
I would rather go fuck with the cartels. I'll go to Mexico.
Okay.
I'd rather go fuck with them.
What a good idea.
Any reason besides maybe the food?
You know they got that good.
Okay. I don't know. I'm more like Steven. I don't know that I would leave this country. I was born here. My parents were born here. Their parents were born here. And as far back as I can trace, which is about 1850, because that's the last time we were in the census. And I'm not even sure that the people I found were indeed related to me or how. But this is my country. And so, no, I'm not going anywhere. It's very weird to be activist-minded in a country that you really do love because it's yours as much as it's anybody else's. And so it's weird to fight so hard, but really, this is my home.
It is weird.
And
it's very weird.
I think that a lot of us are going to find ourselves in that position to where we feel like we don't have a place in our home right now.
But haven't you always felt that way?
Yeah, but it's...
It's one thing to say, I don't think Skills likes me. And it's another thing for Skills to walk up and hit me in the face and tell me every time I go by, he's going to hit me again. And you know what I mean? It's a whole nother level.
Yeah, but I went through that.
But
I've had my car hit with bats. I've been hit by cars on purpose. I've been beat up for being gay. I mean, all of those things have actually happened to me. So I'm surprised to hear you say that. I'm surprised, actually, because I've never felt completely comfortable in this country. Never.
Country have you felt more connected to?
Oh, gosh. I'm not that worldly traveled to have felt really that comfortable in.
Where do you long to go?
Oh, Marsha, I just, what?
Excuse I was going to say, I'm telling you, fam, all those cartels will take care of you, man. Go out there to Mexico. You and Joseph, y'all be good, man.
I grew up on the border of Mexico.
No, I'm talking about go up in there. They got the best fruit in the world.
There are also a sizable number of Afro-Mexicans.
Oh.
And communities that are very Afrocentric and have roots, direct roots back. And a lot of Black people have moved to Mexico.
And Belize. A lot of people have moved to Belize.
So you can't imagine a place where you think you might feel comfortable.
London, England is great. England's great. But, you know, I think I could feel just as comfortable living in New York.
How about the deep south?
You know, have you ever been to Provincetown? Provincetown is amazing. It's an amazing place to live.
Could you live in the south?
No. No. I lived in Texas for growing up. No, I could. I lived in El Paso. It's not the same thing.
No, I would definitely, because I did 2 years in Mississippi, Columbus, Mississippi. And that shit was like they were 20 years behind family members. My family members, they basically, why are you talking to that white man like that?
Well, you know this is 2007, don't you? You know, this is wherever the hell you was too.
I know they was basically giving me that vibe, like, you coming down here making a problem for us.
Yeah, well, you know, there might be something to be said for all of that. But with all this clause, you know, home is home. And
home is home.
Nobody wants to be pushed out of their home arbitrarily for somebody else's ego stroke or whatever it is. But at this point, the way things are going with the Senate and the House and and the presidency, it's hard to see how most of us are going to breathe for the next 4 years.
Yeah.
It's scary. Ooh. I had a friend today who lives in Canada who said she has a guest room for me and Joseph if we want to go.
Yeah. Well, you know, talk like this is just talk. I'm not going anywhere.
No.
But still, the fact that you don't feel welcome in your own home, you know, it'd be like going. Well,
they speak for themselves, Marsha Verge. I was saying that y'all speaking for yourself, Marsha Verge. If there's any cartel members out there in the Marsha Verge that were got an extra.
No, you might be able to come hang with mama, but no, ain't no cartels here.
No, I'm saying out there in the Marsha Verge watching this show that want to send a link to say, hey, we'll pick them up and y'all can transport me in one of those containers or something. Just give me something to breathe. You know, and I come on through there. I know they.
Yeah, and make sure that you have my phone number in your shoe, because they're gonna call me to take you back. Would you please take him back? He don't speak no Spanish.
And there's Marsha parking at the cartel parking lot. Like, careful, careful. We don't want to piss the cartel off by hitting their car.
Where is my son? I don't care about your car.
Let me finish smoking this blunt with him. I'll be right out.
Oh, you just hanging out with the cartel. Skills, where you going to be?
This week, it's no show, those skills, this Friday. I'll be in Cleveland with Lunel at the Funny Bone, and then back here Sunday and Monday at Jimmy Kimmel's with Lunel at 9:30. Then next Tuesday, Marsha Verge, and we still like we're gonna have that damn dude as president.
Yeah, well, you know, anyway, we'll do the best we can. Steven?
Yes, Mom.
Where are you going to be this week?
For the next two weekends, I will be at Puppetry of the Penis, opening for the Penis Puppeteers. And you can also see me at, what else am I doing? Oh, I'll be at Buck's Tavern on November the 13th, headlining that show. 8 o'clock, that's a free show. Come on by Buck's Tavern on the east side of Las Vegas.
Well, I sure hope people come out and see you. Very funny man. And I've been telling you that since I met you. I will be at, Monday night, I will be at the Cellar, Comedy Cellar at the Rio. And then next week, I'll be there from Monday to Sunday at the Comedy Cellar at the Rio. And I will be in Oakland at Tommy T's the 15th, 16th, and 17th with George Wallace. So come on now, get your tickets for that. And then I've got some other things coming up that I'll be letting you know as we go along. I think for two inebriated, mind-altered people and Steven, our designated driver, I think for such a motley crew, we did the best we could. But I think Adele saved the day. We have to thank her for coming by. Yeah. And
thank you, Adele.
Because we sure wanted to come on with a different energy. We was ready to. I know I was.
Popping the wine. and just get our party on.
I was gonna come on with a Kamala dress on.
No. Well, you know, there are blessings within tragedy.
Hey, I'm confident in me. I'm just gonna, just for this one night, I was gonna go on it.
Let me dress you right, if only for one night.
Only for one night, but it was not to be.
I know. Well, you know, keep hope alive.
No, I won't wear the dress again. It was just the night I would have wore it.
That's a whole nother story. We'll talk about that another time. I want to say congratulations to Kamala Harris. You've done a remarkable job.
In 2 months.
Period of time.
2 months.
And almost pulled off the upset of the century.
And was classy. Classy and...
Yeah. I think you even in quote-unquote defeat, you've come out the victor, because once again, we've exposed the depth of misogyny and racism and sexism and homophobia and all of the things that made that campaign, the Trump campaign, win. He appealed to those things on every level. There are not trans women waiting to go into your restroom for any reason unless they have to go to the bathroom. They're just not happening. But they ran a campaign to make people afraid of what they don't know, and then set it in motion where you just can't know, and depicted people as people who should receive paper towels being thrown at them, and people who should be worried about their black job, and always othering folks. And you end up losing sight of the real big picture. And I don't think the Harris campaign did. They didn't get caught up in those divisions, those attempts to exploit the negative division that exists while she was looking to try to heal them. I applaud that. And I thank you. And I thank you for being here. Thank you, Adele. And I'll see y'all next week. Love you. Bye-bye.
Don't you know that the queen is back? She's back, she's back. She withstands the test of time. When it comes to strength, she comes to mind. Get down, she gets back.